And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall on the station that loves you. So many things going on today, so we got a handful of different things that we're going to talk about, the good, the bad, and the better. The good and the better is kind of like what's going on to make this world more righteous and more safe. Like in the studio today will be emergency room doctor Monty Downs and then Andy Melamed, both of Kauai Lifeguard Association. John Cruz is going to call us too around, maybe a little bit after 5 because he is a part of what they're doing. But, a lot of stuff has been going on. Been out there at Wainiha this morning. We had probably 35 police officers was my estimate in arresting 5 young men, protecting the land from being backhoed. So, we'll talk about that and a number of other issues that are somewhat related. So many, many big things going on. And as always, Kauai Soapbox so lovingly appreciates our underwriters. People are going to have more opportunity anytime they can be an underwriter. Underwriters are what keeps Kauai Community Radio on the air. This is a station that represents the underserved voice, and we try really hard to also bring the well-served in here.
That's right. And, you know, it's time to start thinking about being a wave rider as well with our upcoming fund drive. That's just an excellent deal.
Yeah. So we're going to hear about that, too. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store, Betty Jean Nativio, and Howley Girl.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostulas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Betty Jean Nativio, artist for hire, teaching both art and cooking, including the School of Chocolate Art for all ages and abilities. Multi-art mediums, including reverse glass painting, available for events, signage, custom gifts, and more. More information at bettyjeannativio.com or 808-652-3781.
Howley Girl Island Suites presents The Tea Room in the Gallery, located in Kinipopo Shopping Center in Kapa'a, offering full-service high tea and desserts. More information at 808-822-2253.
KKCR's Wave Rider program will make a huge splash during our upcoming spring membership drive. For a tax-deductible donation of just $175, a brief message about your business or event will surf the airwaves during every two-hour program throughout our 14-day fundraiser from April 27th to May 11th. That's over 100 announcements. This is a great opportunity to promote your business or upcoming event and support Kauai Community Radio. Wave Rider forms are available at kkcr.org or call us at 808-826-7774. Early sign-up guarantees the most airtime for your donated dollars. Reserve your spot in the lineup today.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. How are you, Marshall?
Ah, Felicia, I'm just doing fine. But boy, is there a lot going on in the world.
There's a lot going on in the world. And, you know, one thing that happened this week that I think this whole island just really, took as a deep blow in the belly was the loss of 4 beautiful lives right there near the cemetery, just north of Kapa'a as you're coming into Kealia.
So tragic.
So tragic. And so I just want to really take a moment to acknowledge these. There was 3 you know, relative to me, young adults, all of whom were parents of young children. So that's Marcus Cavero, Ashley Gorospe, and Chelsea Lynn Kamat. She joined her two-year-old son, Kavai Nakoa Kamat, who passed away yesterday. She joined him in heaven today. And, you know, just so much love and comfort to all the families and the loved ones of these people. And who knows what happens. Sometimes we just make a mistake. Just something causes that crossing of the center line. And so I really want to also malama the driver of that delivery truck, you know, and not his fault, but still yet he's a part of something that I'm sure will haunt him forever. So I just hold all of them in love, and I know how much everybody is across all the islands, you know, really feel that. We've all been looking at it, and so deep blessings and love to those families, and may the best of all possible outcomes happen for them. My faith leads me to know that those four who've transcended, they're going to be fine, but it takes a lot of adjustment to those left behind. So
great.
Anything that we bring up today in this show, whether it is great or better or, you know, not so great, you know, when we compare it against the pain that can happen in that, and really for all those first responders, one of our guests today will be Dr. Monty Downs. He's an incredible emergency room physician, and we're going to be looking a little bit more in the instances of drownings and how to keep people from drowning.
Right.
There's always these different efforts, but for all those people involved in being first responder, police, fire, EMT, they all go through a whole lot too, and it's particularly tragic when it's people on the front end of their lives. We love our kupuna and our seniors when it's their time as well, but you know, just honoring everybody who had an impact from that very difficult situation. And so when we're looking at our show today, and we might have a number of surprise guests and callers, and maybe not so surprised because they've been invited to do it. So, like, we might have a little bit of interruptions if we've let people come in. Like, one is Governor Ige. He has been invited to call in and may so, because they're doing a town hall meeting this Thursday at Chiefess Kamakahele from 5:30 to 7:30. I know here KKCR, we wanted to live stream that. Surprisingly, the governor's office doesn't seem like they want us to do that, but it is a public place,
right,
and a public event, so right, if we so choose to do it, we still can do that. But it would be nicer if they were as excited about doing it as we are.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're here for.
And that's what he's coming here for.
He's coming here to talk to everybody, and they're like, hey, no, you know what, we got it live streamed on our internet page. And I'm like, you know, it's not the same thing as driving down the road. So we can still do it, but, you know, hopefully that we will get a good invite instead of having to invite ourselves to doing that. Because
bootleg the live stream of the governor's town hall or something.
We could do that, or we could do it from there. But I went last year, and it was really worth hearing. And so, like, some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, you know, I think is important for people to actually go and show to those things. Because, you know me, I tend to be somebody who feels very comfortable going to the public meetings. And when I say public, that means government meetings. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at the legislature all day. Last night, I did go to the Division of Forestry and Wildlife's event that we talked about last week in
Kekaha. I'd love to hear about that, yeah.
If we have time, okay. I'll talk about that. But they did a great job. They brought all kinds of people over, and there was, in fact, more experts than people that from the public coming to talk about it, but they were truly asking how people felt, and they don't have to do it. But it's one of those difficult situations where, you know, there's a loss no matter what the choice is.
And you're talking about Lahua Island.
Lahua Island, with the rodenticide.
Right.
But what particularly today for me, and really, you know, always, but particularly today, is these divergent conversations that are there, that are happening at the same time. But one is more from the traditional perspective, and Malama Aina, you know, really having a close connection to the land, loving the land, and looking at the Hawaiian cultural traditions, and really looking at the truth of history. And we didn't, most of the time that I've been conscious, we didn't know the truth, because the truth is written in Hawaiian, you know, or some of the truth. Like, we have, actually a lot of it's written in English, I'll say that, but we didn't have the internet.
Right. When you say truth, you mean the historical record.
The historical record, when you're looking at what happened behind decisions that were made, that what was... the policies that were in place, where choices were made, what was happening during the time of the overthrow, and really good 50 years before that, and all the way to the present. So we get taught a very sanitized layer of that says, hey, everything's good, and the way it is now is the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And there are people who are looking a little bit deeper than that. And to me, it's really about this difficult collision of these economic systems, because the traditional system here wasn't with a currency.
Right.
And the dominant culture is very much based on the currency, so it can create a predatory environment. And when we're not growing our food or building our houses or doing things together and for ourselves, and we're reliant upon money and selling land, or, you know, the way our system is, it's basically exploitative in nature. Of how we take the next step to feed our families, to put the roof over our houses, because with all the high codes and everything else, it costs so much money. You're not allowed to do it just the way it used to be. It used to be you could build a house for your family, and you could grow the food, and you could fish it. And now you're almost a criminal if you're doing that. And so today there was just a very profound metaphor that I went and witnessed. I was not there for the actual arrests. There was five young men, most of whom I know pretty well, maybe since they were little boys, arrested in Wainiha. They were nonviolent, but they were taken away. Best I could tell, I counted about 16 police vehicles. I tried to estimate. I might not have it exact. Certainly some of them had already left, you know, as they took the people away. There was a paddy wagon, that thing. There was a SWAT team out there.
There's a paddy wagon on Kauai?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. There is, okay. For sure, yeah. In Wainiha, some people have been taking care of some lands out there that they have ancestral connection with. And I need to, before I say too much specifics, because I know who used to own the land, I know he passed away, family probably lost it, there's been some transfers of ownership, but in this 7-year window, people have been living on it, saying this is ours, we have an ancestral claim, and taking care of it, cultivating it, all of that. And the owner of the land, best I understand, who's maybe a Russian national, hired cousins of these people, basically. I don't even want to name names because I know everybody. It's like, they came to bring the backhoes in to start digging it up, and the people
digging up. They're farming. They're growing taro. There's lohi.
Taro,
sort of thing.
Bananas. It's a whole farm.
Right. So they're going to bulldoze out.
Bulldoze that, yeah. Get ready for the building. And it is said that there are family burials in there.
Mm-hmm.
What best I know, very likely true. I can't prove it. I don't, you know, other people say no, there aren't. So, but you never know, really, till that bulldozer goes into the ground. So it was a very big event there. There is some footage of that on my Facebook page. I believe one was just put on the KKCR page of the actual arrest. But, you know, when I was sitting there watching, and then, you know, is to see how much cocoa was in all of that. You know, everybody's a little bit mixed, or most everybody's a little bit mixed. But, you know, I'm seeing Hawaiian bloodline, people protecting the land, people on those backhoes, even seeing the Andy Irons Forever sticker on that backhoe, knowing that one of those backhoe drivers is doing his best in the ex-offender world where you need to have a solid job, you need to be doing things. I just see how our economic system drives all of this stuff. And then most of the officers there look like they had some Hawaiian in them, too.
Wow.
And there were so many cameras running, mine included. I didn't see any abusive behavior by the police or anybody there. Just because I didn't see it didn't mean it didn't happen earlier, but there were so many cameras on everything. I did not see abuse, but I saw a tragic situation because we're seeing this gentrification everywhere. And, you know, oh, I just could go on and on about the gentrification that is happening.
And when you say gentrification, when it comes to land on Kauai, like I'm used to thinking of an inner city, you know, that's run down and people of middle to, you know, upper,
yeah,
come in and fix it up and everything. What does that mean when you look at a piece of land?
Well, what to me what gentrification means is when I see rural lands that have been lived on for generations, and maybe now they got some how on them or whatever, but it is, they got the chickens, they got the dogs, they've got, you know, a local style way of living on it, or maybe even that heiau or that vahipana, sacred place, you know, and every place was sacred, but places with very significant histories being, you know, having, I couldn't find the birthday party I was looking for. I went to a different birthday party. I won't even say which one that one was. But the driveway, I mean, you could probably build a couple of houses for the cost of what this beautiful driveway cost. Seeing nice pools, expensive houses. Nobody lives there, by the way. And so all this stuff along the ridge line. And I just, like, having worked on the general plan update, looking at the drivers for making the money is building these properties, maintaining these properties, but in the absence of anybody actually living there, especially anybody who has a generational history here living there, and so these places that hold so much history for the people around them, and very memorable history, and the places that should be theirs and lost because they can't pay the taxes, turned into what looks like an estate for somebody who's so disconnected with the area. Maybe they never meant for that to happen. Maybe they have no idea that that's happening. But a lot of times when these lands are changing over, people need to do the research, but maybe their people talk to somebody else's people, talk to somebody else's people, and they don't realize what they're pushing out. So I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt right now, because I don't want to be attacking anybody in this, but what's happening is wrong. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I look at what it probably cost to go arrest these people, and long story short, the guys on the bulldozers, the land clearers from that same little area, they drove away and they parked, ready to go out again tomorrow morning. So this same drama is going to happen again tomorrow, probably around 8 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier there in Wainiha, just the Hanalei side of Wainiha General Store up the valley on the right. That, you know, like when I look at, I'm trying to guess, what does it cost to make an operation like that? How many people go out for a non-violent situation? Mm-hmm. And I'm not picking on the police. It's our U.S. laws and the Hawaiian laws. And really, like in the back of the Bible, like I've read the Bible, the back of the book, it uses a phrase called lifting the veil. The veil will be lifted on the illusions. And I think here is one example of that lifting of the veil, as also learning the Hawaiian language and being able to see the false history that we're taught, including the people who make the laws now have been indoctrinated into a false history. So everybody's kind of trapped in this illusion, and it's really tough to break the way out of it. But when I looked at that, you know, I'm guessing, I have no idea really, but probably $50,000 to go execute that project of arresting those men for a rich landowner who doesn't live here and not even sure if carries a passport the same as everybody here from us. I don't know. I just, that part on that landowner is something that I was gaining from the people who lived around there. But it's like I go, wow, there it is. How much effort will we go into putting protecting private property rights? Now, somebody's getting beat by their spouse. You're never going to get that kind of reaction. You might get a squad car out there. Thank you, squad car, for being there. But we don't have that happen that much. And so this was a big deal. Tomorrow on Songs of Sovereignty, I'm sure that that will come up, though I also wouldn't be surprised if there is a guest programmer in there for that, because many of the sovereign focused people from this program will probably be out there again tomorrow morning. But we also have Cocoa Palms. There's another standoff of a similar nature, people who have a genetic lineage to the land, to the royal patent rights, you know, resisting Cocoa Palms being opened up and the police needing to come out there. I think, you know, I've read it in the paper. I haven't been out there directly. I know a number of the people. And yes, the Hyatt has the piece of paper that says their name is on that land, and whoever the new owner is in Wainiha there has their piece of paper that says their name is on that land. But again, it is the Hawaiian community group of people who feel that they have the lineal descent rights. Marshall, we had a caller. Did they have something they wanted to say? Did they have a correction for me?
No, they...
Oh, okay,
they,
I always hope that that happens. Okay, go ahead.
No, the caller just wanted to mention that it's very much the Babylon, what people refer to as Babylon, and we didn't have enough time to talk about specifically what that meant to him or to anyone else, but he said that that's the system that's encroaching on the traditional lifestyles.
Yes, and for those of us often called the H word, just know that that encroachment happened to our ancestors earlier. So there's this migration as people are driven from their places. So what we see here in Hawaii, Kanaka Maoli, the people who have the genetic lineage on this land, they are systematically being adjudicated, have their land taxed away. They are being driven off their land. They have a strong cultural connection to the land. They're being driven off by people who have, for the most part, many people have been driven off their own land maybe generations ago. So we have this lack of ties and connections. And
but where does it stop? You got to figure at some point, do we just look around and say, look, we've got to stop displacing each other, respect the people that take care of the land, those are the ones that belong there, and figure out something else.
Well, it's a problem, and like today in the Judicial Committee of the House of Representatives, there was something called HCR, Hawaii, I don't remember what the C stands for, but resolution, which means it's just a statement, but it was 50, and that is looking for the U.S. to have a specific constitutional convention to lift and remove the United States versus Citizens United decision, which says money is free speech. And so that actually puts all our elected officials in this same crucible, right? When they have to compete against other people who can be funded and funded and funded, that, you know, is everybody's sitting there struggling. And so a group called Wolfpack is one of the people, one of the organizations kind of driving this, trying to have 2/3 of the states of the United States say, hey, we want to upend that. I mean, it's not just happening in Hawaii, but we are seeing this concentration of wealth go ever tighter to, you know, just the tiniest percentage of people. So it's critical. And when I see all this awakening happening, to me, it's like when you walk into a room in an old wooden house. I live in an old wooden house. Turn on the lights and the roaches run, right? And I feel like our cross conversation with each other is like the lights in the room that are causing the roaches to run.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to sit there and wake up and work together and figure it out. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. But another place, like over on Hawaii Island, many of the people who were known as the Mauna Kea protectors, there's, you know, many people are like looking. Pohaku Loa Army Training Area is right there next to Poliahu, the crater where the telescopes are. That the Army is doing live munitions practice again. So they are bombing that area, and these munitions are filled or covered with depleted uranium.
You're talking about on Mauna Kea?
Yeah. It's just like you right from one you look to the other. They're right next to each other. So there's, you know, it's probably three times the size of what Koho'olawe is for a bombing practice. So right now on a regular basis, they're bombing. And we had one of our heroes, Ku Ching, one of the protectors over there, last year, pro se, meaning self-represented, you know, unpaid attorney, though he's super, super smart. He sued the state of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources for being an irresponsible landlord to the U.S. Army and won. And that's because they aren't being environmentally protective. They're none of these ordinances are getting picked up, you know, so every time that depleted uranium goes up in the dust, it kind of showers down into the water, and, you know, people can breathe it. It's
does
a problem.
Does that ruin the land essentially forever?
One could say yes.
Yeah.
And I think that the mindset is, well, it's not that nice a land anyway. It's a bunch of rocks, you know. And so it's this incredible difference of opinion, and a lot of times the people who are making these decisions are very far away somewhere else. So another thing happening here that I saw is that this Burnsfield airstrip, which is right down there in the Salt Pond area in Hanapepe,
right.
That lease is under transfer to an organization on the continental United States to make it be a much bigger helicopter effort. So all of that is a big threat to these traditional salt pans where they make salt, and if you get all this helicopter fuel, everything going right into the water there. There's a number of contaminants that go into the water there, and they come up, and they're being making the salt with it.
Not to mention, I imagine they kick up more of that red dirt, and if that flies all over the...
Well, if the red dirt's kind of clean, that's okay, because then it's got the iron in it for the salt, but it's... That's a big challenge, so we're seeing that piece. You know, on a happy end... the lawful Hawaiian government across the islands, they've been doing what they call a Hawaiian government authorized exercise. So they've been going to the different school campuses and taking down the Hawaiian flag, and they're going to put up a separate pole so that the Hawaiian flag does not fly underneath the U.S. flag, but flies separate and equal. Because there's this reclaiming of saying this was not a legitimate take. And so with a lot of credit to our chancellor here, Helen Cox, they came to do that. And she said, hey, I already ordered another flagpole. The flagpole wasn't installed yet, but she was already on it. It takes a while to get there. But KCC, Kauai Community College, isn't resisting that effort. And... You know, when you're saying, how do we get there? I mean, and I said the thing about turning on the lights and the roaches running. I know that the more that we all just sort of realize, oh, okay. I mean, I like to hope anyway that we start to shift our behavior, because really, in the end, that's what it takes. It takes a willingness to say, this is what's important. And like with Kauai Community Radio, like here you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And our program and our mission statement is really about the underserved voice, as well as perpetuating the traditions of Hawaii. This is part of the Kekahu Foundation. You know, it's part of our kuleana. our sacred responsibility to be helping to shine lights in dark corners. And we might not have everything right in our volunteer programming, but we do everything we can to operate in integrity and to do inquiry. And that's why, like this program, which we have the call-in number of 826-7771, if somebody, you know, has an Akamai listener, is able to correct something or add something to it, that, you know, we can do that.
Let me ask you something. You're saying that we need to change our behavior and, you know, of course, facilitating the functions of KKCR is one thing. What else can we do?
Well, I mean, there's a number of things, like in learning about stuff. Like, for example, on April 10th, 2 to 5 p.m., they have something called Coffee with the Planners, and that's at Ha Cafe.
Okay.
That's in Lihue, and the planning department are going to be down there for 3 hours. And they're trying to create as many really comfortable environments for people to come in, so it won't feel like a government thing. It'll be like hanging out and talking story. But even there, to be able to be emphasizing the importance of respecting different, you know, cultural pieces or traditional values that we have here. Do we have a caller? All right, we'll take that caller, and then I've got a couple things. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. It's K.O. here.
Hi, K.O.
And, you know, I attended the taking down of the flags.
Yes.
On a community college this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. I mean, a passage was read from an early newspaper, one with a color. The first color newspaper was about an article about Hawaiian flag.
Mm.
Yeah, and so they read from that, and is.
And was the chancellor, you know, there when you were doing it?
This is the third campus that they're doing this to. Now, the other three have already ordered their flagpoles, okay? So it's not a new thing. Just Kauai is behind. And I'll tell you, they knew about the flagpole since the first incident in Hilo.
Okay.
Okay, so what the state has to do and is not doing is follow their own laws. You know, there's a law that says that you put sovereign flags on their own pole. And that's a state law.
So,
and it's very symbolic. You know, a flag.
Right.
And to have one above the other gives that image of superiority over the other.
Well, it's supposed to. That is what it's supposed to signify, is submission or subordination and dominance.
And it's like hypnotizing the public.
So,
you know, into allegiance, a false allegiance.
So.
And we can go on and on and on, but.
So
I'm glad we got that, and also. The chancellor, Helen Cox, met with us, and we all fit into a conference room, and we told her our complaint. And she knew about it, that they are ordering a second pole, have ordered. So it's on its way. So what we ask is that they put a fence, an orange fence around the flagpole, so that they don't put up the flag anymore. Unless they put up the Hawaiian flag, then that's okay. But the opposition is against the American flag. Yeah?
Yes. Okay.
And it's really nice to hear intelligent Kanakas talking about all the good things that are going to happen when they take the when the high education does this project.
Yes.
We get a lot of benefit out of it.
Yes, it's good that they are...
The Native Hawaiian people will benefit. We'll finally get recognized. And I feel that this is, that's great, you know.
Okay.
We're on the road to our nation back again.
Thank you so much for calling that in, and thank you for what you do.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Aloha.
Thank you. Aloha.
So I wanted to make another announcement, too. You had asked me what people could do. There's many things, and I was just saying they could go and talk with the planners, which, you know, they could certainly go to the governor's town hall meeting. Those tend to be how to impact the political system. Also, what's happening is people are partnering, and a lot of this is happening on Facebook and social media, like, for example, the Friends of Mahalapu, who have had been a part of a decent success in the courts, where we're looking at the water pollution and land pollution potential there, and where the Department of Health hasn't really stepped up to the plate to the right way, and the environmental impact statements, all those things weren't handled right. Well, the people from Ōkala on the Big Island on Hawaii have been interacting with the Friends of Mahalapu.
Because they've got a dairy.
Because they have a dairy, and they have that challenge. And then the Mauna Kea protectors have gotten engaged, too. So all three entities are working together. And so what is really very evident with the Ōkala place is that they really don't have an effective way to manage all that manure, and they have huge amounts of infections going on. And Mahalapu has helped the people over in Ōkala be able to understand how to deal with the political system and the legal system and getting the tests. And they all came together, actually, I think it was Monday, and talked to the governor, and were showing them the hard evidence of the problems that they're having in Ōkala, and seeing even the Department of Health's reports on it that are in agreement with these big challenges. And the Department of Health really took no action. So it's very impacting. And with the Mauna Kea protectors, like Lana Kila, for one, I saw he was up in the helicopter and doing the filming. And, you know, as everybody starts working together and looking at it, that we have a two-tiered system of rules in our communities, or maybe more than two tiers. Maybe it's a whole gradient. But the people who are the less empowered are working with others all along that spectrum, and we are really making some headway of having to cause bigger industries to actually follow the rules that individuals are asked to follow. And I think that that's where there's a lot of breakdown, is that, you know, if you have plenty of money, it's almost like you don't even have to follow the rules. And what we're seeing, even like when we're looking at that big arrest that happened this morning, is how much money was spent on that. And that, you know, it's like there's an incredible amount of money that was spent on that, when there might be something so much more critical. And that that individual who pretty much knowingly bought some distressed property, why should the public have to pay for that? And the public and people are really coughing up the money to pay for lawyers, leveraging their houses. What we were seeing over there in Ōkala is when this big pieces of fecal material just slide down the hills and run in against an old wooden house and start rotting the sides of the house, the people who live in that house are the ones who have to clean up the mess and replace the wall, and because they don't really have maybe the economic capacity to battle that one. But the Friends of Mahalapu, Poipu, Kaloa, they got their capes on. They're going over there, and they're helping rectify that, because it's a win-win. You know, like, as was said, the people there are living the nightmare that the people here are afraid of.
Right.
So all of a sudden they have Exhibit A to say, this is what we don't want.
Right.
But, you know, how do you give back and how do you help with that? So there's a lot of ways that communities are coming together and giving back. And when I'm saying, you know, I don't think that people intend to create these problems. And this was something that I was bringing up and many people were bringing up with the planning department when we're looking at the general plan update, is when we have these major legs like the visitor industry, which seems to be, and we love our visitors and we want our visitors to be safe and healthy and happy, but when, you know, this place is marketed, like especially the Nepali coast, like KA Beach, that's like the poster child for all of Hawaii, you know. They bring everybody over there. There's no place to park. Everybody's stressed. It's a problem when we create this magnet. And, you know, those people, they're like coming with a wonderful heart saying, hey, we want to come help you, help the economy, enjoy your place. You invited us to your home for dinner. We're showing up. Hey, yay. And they get there and they don't understand why there's maybe not always the nicest reception. And then also for the higher end of that, they are preyed upon by the land development industry. And so here everybody rolls out the red carpet to be building these houses and creating all this stuff. And a lot of times, you know, they're not told, hey, you know what, you're going to come here, you're going to create displacement. I mean, that's not on the DROA that you sign when you buy something. You're part of something that is actually creating homelessness.
Are you saying that the real estate industry actually actively markets to people who come here for a vacation?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not even under question. I mean, most of the houses now are, you know, like $600,000 or even $400,000. Almost $500,000 is considered an affordable house. So it's like a $3,000 a month mortgage, you know, if you only put 10 or 15% down. So who has that kind of money? You know, it's being sold to people from off island.
Right. And we know that, but I tend to think of it as a passive sort of thing. People around the world look at Kauai and be like, oh, that's so beautiful. And they come here and like, we love it. We love it. I don't generally think of real estate agencies here reaching out to those people and trying to sell Kauai properties.
Well, then you need to look closer.
Yeah.
But that's only people who can pay for it.
Right.
So most of, and if you look at the statistics, most of the sales go to people who haven't lived here before. It's not like people who moved here, tumbleweeded over here like I did, and then they're buying the house. It's people who are economically independent because we don't have hardly any of the jobs that can support these kind of houses unless you're doing something that is maybe selling it off, right? So we have this big dichotomy, and it's not like anybody's bad. We just have a structural issue. So sometimes what we need to be able to do, like sometimes there's really good opportunities where everybody's working together and we're able to be funding things for good. And we have a caller, and then we're going to be changing the topic a little bit. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air, KKCR.
Hi, you just made me think about my situation, where I live on Hawaiian Homes, and I live in a residential, but I can't get title to my land, you know?
And is that because of your bloodline, or?
No. I mean, that's the condition of Hawaiian Homes.
Is that it's never
that
yours?
You reside on the land, but you don't have title to it.
It's a leasehold.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So it's, you know, and you're talking about $400,000, $500,000 houses out there that are illegally being sold their titles. You know, and here I am, a Hawaiian, on Hawaiian Homes, not able to get title to the land.
That's a very good point. And I know a lot of the Hawaiian homelands properties end up being public infrastructure. Like we're looking at putting our landfill on Hawaiian homelands. We just put in a really nice big solar array on land that seems like right next to infrastructure. It's hard to understand why that didn't end up being.
And when you have development on Hawaiian land, the Hawaiian people don't get no interest from that.
They
don't get no checks sent to them.
Right. Right. It's very difficult. And then, yeah,
And no, it's a war crime.
It's a war crime.
All those
okay,
things.
Okay, it is.
And we got to start talking about that. We'll do a whole show on it.
Okay, we can do a whole show on it. Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. And K.O.'s comment just reminded me of my last announcement that I wanted to be able to say, which is there's a film called Okinawa Afterburn. I'm for sure going to go see that. It's this Saturday, April 8th, from 7 to 10 p.m., and the filmmaker's coming and some people are there, and it is about the military destruction of Okinawa. And, you know, I've looked at that a little bit, but, when you read it, there's so much deep history of what happened, and this footprint that happens all over the place. There's so many bases everywhere. One could say, certainly here in Hawaii, we were just talking about Pohakuloa. There's commonality. So we were just talking about how the dairy people are working together, the protectors from Mauna Kea are working with them. You know, Okinawa is coming here, wanting to talk to us. And the film, by the way, I looked at it, is it's the voiceovers in English. It's an English voiceover for an American audience. It's people kind of holding hands, trying to go, all right, across the world, we're having these sets of challenges.
Before we leave the issue of land and housing, Felicia, and the Wainiha situation, just how do you see that unfolding? Do you have any idea what's going to happen there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm going to watch. Hopefully there is some sort of collaborative solution.
Right.
I don't really want to interject what I think, because it's not important what I think.
Right.
It's important what the people who are those most closely involved with the land.
Right.
And so it's really a tough situation to sit there and watch, and it is symbolic of what's happening in so many other places. So,
but you think the bulldozers are going to roll tomorrow morning, or that's the plan?
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be out there on that road tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to try and again disrupt that, and it might be that the police are out there again tomorrow. It might be that this continues. If I was the landowner, I would make sure that there's some difference, but I'm obviously not that landowner.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But many people will be out there tomorrow morning at Wainiha, just before the general store in the back on the left. So we'll see.
Wow. So, yeah, the tourists are really going to wonder what's going on. When you've got 12, 13 police cars in Wainiha, they're probably going to have a little bit tough time getting out to KA.
At least 16. No, it's all back up on that road.
Really? Oh, my goodness.
It was,
so you have the direct costs, but then you also have whatever indirect costs and inconveniences associated with hanging up the entire flow of traffic and the tourists' itineraries for the entire day.
That might be true, and that's like the least of my concerns.
Right, sure.
So,
but it's a mess.
But it is in there, and right. People on vacation have called in to KKCR to ask what's going on. So, so you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and we're really lucky to have two very, very great guests in here. Dr. Monty Downs is one of them, and let me see if I've got you mic'd up well.
Hello, Felicia.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, and I want to say that I consider you one of our community heroes, because how long have you worked at Wilcox Emergency Room?
45 years.
45 years. So you have...
So before you were born.
You've probably saved many lives. I mean, you're probably too humble to say yes, but I have no doubt that that's true.
Done the best I can, and I do want to say right off the bat what an honor it is to have you invite me and Andy here to talk on your show today and to talk about some things we care very deeply about.
Yes, so I know, I mean, I just want to be able to really recognize that when you're in there, when we started this show talking about that car accident on the east side, just as tragic as it can get.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so sometimes, like with cars, is we can have good road signals and things like that. So one way that we lose a lot of people is on the roads, but the other way is in the ocean. And you've had a lot to try and resolve that.
Yeah, just a quick comment on that very sad or beyond sad tragic accident is so happened. I wasn't working that day, but they're having debriefings of the staff who was working that day, even though we're ER people, doctors, nurses, clerks, whatever. It still can stress you in ways that you don't even kind of recognize. And
might be traumatized, the staff. Yeah,
so the hospital set up a couple debriefing sessions with a spiritual minister and psychologist, and don't know how well attended they'll be. I wasn't working, so I'm not going, but it's very hard, and for all of the people on Kauai, like you referred to, the area that I've focused on for the last 25 years or so has been ocean fatalities and drownings and injuries, and just from my background in the ER, seeing the families that are destroyed by this kind of made me want to try and do some work on it. I've never claimed that it's Kauai's main problem or Kauai's biggest problem, but it certainly is one of Kauai's problems. And for the people and families that it affects, it is their biggest problem.
It is their biggest problem. Yeah.
So I've tried to do some work over the years and to help reduce the number of tragedies that happen. Statistically, it's sort of questionable how successful we've been. I guess the one thing we can say, my initial goal was to reduce the number of drownings every year. Haven't really managed that, but if we want to go to statistics, at least we can say that as the population has doubled, our drownings haven't doubled. So that's something to hang our hat on.
Right.
And the other thing I hang my hat on is I do get to meet some people in the ER who come in that very nearly drowned and didn't. And to be honest with you, my favorite word in the English language is near.
Right.
Near drowning. So,
near drowning.
So when I hear the call that it's near, I'm always happy. And that our lifeguards have done a tremendous job of saving or resuscitating. And so I get to meet, I have the opportunity that many people don't, to actually meet these people that are saved because of the work we do, both with our professionals and with our volunteer programs. So that's what really keeps me still going so strong on it, is meeting these people.
Yeah, and in the years that I have watched it go from basically being the fire department that does a lot of it, the lifeguards have taken over so heavily, in terms of being effective and with a lot of different equipment. And your group is called the Kauai Lifeguard Association, right? Are you the president of that?
Yes. Yep.
Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. It's a nonprofit that actually is not that old, 11 years old. I didn't start it. Kalani Vieira and a couple of other people, Tom Canute, started it.
And they're lifeguards.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Kalani is.
Kalani is.
Yeah. Tom Knuth's a banker, actually.
Oh, okay.
But the purpose in starting it was quite specific to had to do with the junior lifeguard programs, and trying to, which the county had been running, but they couldn't quite get the funding to make it go the way they envisioned it going. So they started up KLA for the purpose of raising money to enhance the junior lifeguard program. The mission statement is much broader than junior lifeguards. It's to improve ocean safety on Kauai. And so when I did become an active member and president, we were able to expand from just junior lifeguards to a number of other programs that we think are helping. The number one being actually to support our county lifeguards themselves and our county program, and to donate them equipment when they need it. And thanks to some fundraising friends of mine who have been able to reach out to the community and into the community to get people who feel it in their hearts, what we're trying to do. We've been able to raise money that we in turn give to the county, make the lifeguard service much stronger than it used to be. And, you know, to me, lifeguards are, if you have 10 things you're trying to do, they're step 1 through 7 of ways to improve ocean safety on Kauai. And we're very happy to have been able to support them with equipment. I think we've helped a little bit with kind of increasing their stature in the community.
Well, when we look at this $204 million county budget that they're bracing with, and when we see the state legislature is trying to basically systematically remove whatever is left of the transit accommodation taxes, which is really mind-blowing relative to the first responders, because a whole lot of the first response is out there for people who are on vacation here. So it certainly seems like that money should be there. So sometimes when people put too much of the economic responsibility on the county and they underestimate, you know, what it takes extra. And I want to acknowledge that we can maybe talk about this with Andy a little bit, when I've seen the generosity that's coming out of, you know, some of the individuals, it is, you know, sometimes these people who buy these houses who really don't mean to be hurting, and those are some of the ways that they do help.
Absolutely, and you're right. The state should be not reducing the funding, with threatening to take away the TAT tax, and then the visitor industry is obviously a huge player in this, and they should be taking major responsibility for trying to keep their visitors safe. That's how they make their living. And they do a good, I want to tip my hat to the visitor industry. They've come a long way. They've become major donors for the programs we're trying to. There's one stone left unturned, really. I could run down several programs that we work on if we have time later on. But the one area we could use more work on is oceanfront beach resorts having lifeguards at their properties.
Well, that's a good idea.
Excuse me. Oh, yeah.
Why doesn't that happen already?
Well, money. I mean.
But they should. I would think they should pay for it.
Right. So, I'm sorry. I got a cough here.
We'll get you some water.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, but so that's a big one last step I think we could take of things that we could accomplish to make things better. You know, Kalapaki sort of stands out as a place that, wow, there's no, if you're looking from a satellite saying, where should there be beaches on Kauai? There's a few that stand out that are right in front of hotels. But so I say that as an opportunity for improvement, but I'm also going to say that the visitor industry has done a great job of supporting us.
Right. So that's really good. And one of the things that you've done recently that has been, I think it was with your last wave, you guys call these waves, was getting that jet ski that with a truck that's basically a roving. A couple of them, right? You got like one for the north, three. We got three different ones, north, central, and middle. And that's profound, too.
It is, yeah. And it's as far as steps the county can be taking. I always like to say we have 10 towers and 65 beaches. Oh, thank you. A cup of water here.
A little bit of water, yeah.
And so ideally, the county would have lifeguard towers at 65 beaches, but economically, that's no way that's going to happen. Believe it or not, to staff a tower at one beach costs $300,000 to $400,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to staff 65 towers.
Right.
So this roving patrol is something that we're hoping and thinking will impact that a little bit. And it started in December of last year, and so far it has indeed proven to be a great benefit for us. So
wonderful. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Marshall and Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Second Skin.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Second Skin Organics Hawaiian Mosquito Shield. Safe and effective. Protecting you and your ohana since 2001. Kauai grown, GMO free, sustainable organic agriculture based solutions. Uamau ke'ea o ka'aina I ka pono. More information on their global mission and vision for Hawaii at secondskinorganics.com.
Earth Week celebration
of Earth Day
at Kauai Community College, happening every day of the week, Monday, April 17th through Friday, April 21st. Featured speakers include Dr. John Osorio, Tiare Lawrence, a water panel, Kui Kalo workshops, amongst many other aloha and activities occurring Monday through Thursday, 3 to 6 p.m. in the One Stop Center at Kauai Community College. And Friday, a big ho'olauleia with bands, food, informational booths about those ho'olau aina, and much more from 10 to 2 p.m. Earth Week celebration
of Earth Day
at Kauai Community College, happening every day of the week, Monday, April 17th through Friday, April 21st.
From now until the start of our spring membership drive on April 27th, we encourage you to participate in our Early Bird Drive. All Early Bird Drive contributors will be entered into our Early Bird Drawing for a chance to win either a 4-foot-tall monkey pod ku tiki or a ni'ihau shell lei with matching earrings set in a koa frame from Hawaiki Oceanic and Tribal Art Gallery located in Hanalei Center. Our goal for this drive is $70,000. Help us get there by making a sustaining or one-time donation today. For more information on these incredible early bird drawing prizes and to donate securely online, visit kkcr.org or call 826-7774. Mahalo nui to Hawaiki Oceanic and Tribal Art Gallery for their generous donation to our early bird drawing winner.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. There we got our birds. And I just want to, you know, really mahalo everybody who helps keep Kauai Community Radio on the air. This is a pretty much an all-volunteer station, but it still costs money to keep the lights on and to keep our equipment functioning. Andy Melamed is in here. He's had like a career at Kong, and I, you know, so he's really used to high professionalism, but you know, we do what we can, you know. So yeah, this is just people coming in and helping, and so our listeners and our underwriters are part of what makes that happen. So Andy, you have been a part of all of this.
This is about my fifth effort in trying to help the Ocean Safety Bureau communicate, get material, equipment, and support whatever they need. And it's just a pleasure working with these guys. I just have to say, though, that working with Monty is a major inspiration because he comes so from the heart and he's exposed to the things that we're trying to prevent, and he deals with them on a day-to-day basis. And how he does that is just amazing, while then going out and checking rescue tubes around the island to make sure that they're in good shape and things. I just want to get to one point, and that's that primarily everyone on this island loves the beaches and the ocean. And we use it for recreation. We use it for our natural resources. We use it for spirituality in so many different ways. And the ocean can be so unpredictable, and we have to be aware of it. We have to be aware of all the different conditions that can be changing. And this time of year, what we've decided to do is build, and we've been talking about it for 2 or 3 months, an ocean-minded community, meaning we're calling aware of the ocean and the conditions from the ground up, from the grassroots level, meaning supporting the Junior and Keiki Lifeguard Program, where this year we're able to bring on up to 550 kids aged 8 to 17 years of age to compete, well, to train and to learn about the ocean for free throughout the summer. Then they compete at Kalapaki for an island championship and to see whether they can represent Kauai in a state championship. Then they go to compete at states, which is going to be on Oahu this year, I believe at Ala Moana. And then the top performers from states are then chosen from all the islands, and Kauai in the past has sent its whole team, but now it's going to be basically all the best competitors from around the state, then going to Daytona Beach, Florida, to represent Hawaii to compete. And this just this past year, Kelta O'Rourke.
I love her, yes.
She made it to international competition because of her success. So what we're doing is and these aren't just the kids. The families are involved. Everyone is aware. We had 12 consecutive state championships. It builds pride. And that's what this is all about. If you've got an ocean and you love the ocean and you love the beaches and you love clean beaches, you like access to those beaches, you want to have safety, you've got lifeguards around, everybody goes to the beach to enjoy, and we have a common factor. It unites the community. And if we've got a junior lifeguard program that unites the community, if we call awareness to the lifeguard towers around Kauai, what lifeguards are there? They're all our kids, or they're all friends of our kids, and they're all, you know, we've all grown up together, and they are spending 8 hours a day, eyes peeled on the shore, eyes peeled on the horizon, looking for an accident that hasn't happened yet.
And I want to just jump in and say there have been a number of people who have been saved by kids.
Yes.
You know, that happens, you know, throughout the decades.
That's
kids,
the multiplier
kids are
effect.
Saving them. And those kids save themselves, too.
That's the multiplier effect that Monty always refers to, and that I learned from him, is basically you're doing something, someone else sees it, they take it on, and then they see somebody in trouble at the beach. It can just be, hey, you know, some visitors come and put the towel right at a low tide line when the tide is coming back up again, and you know the surf's going to come up in 2 or 3 hours thanks to satellite readings these days. But you can go up to that person, and it's happened, and I've seen it happen in unguarded beaches where someone just says, you know, the tide's coming up, the surf is coming up, be better if you move the towel back, because your three-year-old child that's right down here building a sandcastle is you know, needs mm-hmm. to be pushed back further. And that's the multiplier effect. Or jumping out into the ocean with one of the rescue tubes, over 200 rescue tubes around the island. So there's a community campaign that we're trying to do with KLA this year.
Kauai Lifeguard Association.
Yes. We've made a new video. And the video was shown on Vala'au TV last week. As an unveiling, and now it's available at kauailifeguards.org for anyone to not just see, but download if they have a business, and they can take that video and put it into their system in their place of business, whether it's a resort, they want to feed it right through all their hotel in-house
systems.
So
when we're saying there's a video, just to be clear, it's a video that it gives visitors or anybody skills and knowledge of what to do when they see an accident, how to use the rescue tube,
There's four key points that we're trying to reinforce over and over again, and that's what works well in media and communications. It's the repetition in different ways. Number one, go to a lifeguarded beach. Number two, how to identify a rip current and what to do if you're stuck in one. Number three, how to use a rescue tube. Number four, snorkeling. Now, snorkeling you'd think would be it's a safe activity, but actually throughout the state, and Kalani Vieira has given me this figure, and Monty's aware of it, 40% of the drownings that happen in the state of Hawaii are from snorkelers. Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the video illustrates how to use the snorkel.
So you don't suck it in like a big straw.
Right. And most of the drownings occur with not elderly people, but people a little bit older
sometimes
that can panic because they don't know how to use it and they don't use it right. So in the video, we tell people to learn how to use it. We show them how to use it. And then there's also the walking on the rocks and going through streams when, you know, along a shoreline and it's wet and slippery. And that is also another cause of drowning. So that video, a new brochure, as well as visitor industry briefings, reinforce those four key points. And so this ocean-minded community is very, very aggressive in bringing the community together with a common goal. We love the ocean. We love the beaches. And so we're proud to present in one of these forms right now the video. You can go to kauailifeguards.org and download it. And if you're a business and you want to download it, you can do that too.
And it is on YouTube. I know I've posted it, and there's, you know, it can be posted anywhere. I would like to see it on the planes, honestly. I know we had somebody who was watching a video in the airport in the baggage claim. Do you remember that?
I sure do.
So you want to tell us what happened there?
Yeah, Taylor Garvey, who was a 17-year-old boy, the family had just disembarked from an airplane from California, and the parents were focused on getting their bags, and so happened Taylor kind of watched the video, and on which, even on the prior rendition of the video, there was a rescue tube, and two or three days later, there were Moloa and his father, Kevin, I'm sorry, at Anini Beach, snorkeling. And his father got sucked out the rip current and was going to drown. And Taylor, who'd been looking at the airport video, looked around, wow, there's a rescue tube. I remember that. And grabbed the rescue tube, went out. And rescue tube is basically a flotation device. There's no magic to it. It could be a surfboard or a boogie board. But so took the rescue tube out to his dad. They both floated on it. The mother had called 911, and they actually couldn't get back in against the current. But by then, our great lifeguards had gotten the word from 911 and had gotten to the scene in a few minutes with their jet ski. But the key was being on the floating on the rescue tube, calm, everything cool. You can float for a half hour or 2 hours. So that's a great story for sure. The man was pretty messed up. He actually spent 3 days in intensive care unit. So it was one of those near words that I like to refer to.
You know, what I would be interested in having some basic training, maybe a half-day event or something where I could get in the water with a lifeguard and practice the very basic way to help somebody who's struggling in the water.
So that's like senior lifeguards instead of junior lifeguards. Like, I wonder, that's a really good idea, Marshall. I wonder if there could be like a one-day or a half-day event where people could go down and have some lifeguard training for adults.
We might practice using the tubes.
Yeah. What do you think of that idea?
That is a good idea. And actually, 3 or 4 years ago, it actually happened a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I forget why it lost momentum, but it did. But a fellow who that actually was quite instrumental in starting up the rescue tube program named John Tyler had that going on a couple of occasions. But it kind of fell by the wayside, and I'll keep that in mind. And
let's give a shout-out to John and Jen Tyler, because the efforts that have been made has saved many lives. And I know it was a battle to get the county to actually take the liability on of having those rescue tubes out there.
Yeah, there was some interesting pushback, and the state, because they're actually on state property. State owns every beach up to the high water mark, and we kind of put these right at the high water mark is where we tend to put them. But we had actually some wonderful cooperation from the state, and they have made it legal for us to have them there. And at first, we kind of started out a little bit behind the scenes, if you will, but then we worked with the state, and thanks to one person named Milo Spint, I'll throw his name out there. He was the head of land management for a couple of years, and he just said, Monty, I'm going to get the paperwork done. And I said, oh, great. And sure enough, about 3 months later, he had a stack of papers that were signed by the head of DLNR saying, go ahead, do it.
And, the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Yeah.
So that's great. And Marshall had asked a little early in the show, what can people do? So when we ask questions like that, a lot of times people say, what can people do when we have all these needless drownings or tragic drownings? And so the efforts of Kauai Lifeguard Association is an answer to that. And so you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, and we have Dr. Monty Downs, senior emergency room doctor. I mean, you seem like the go-to guy there at the emergency room. Anyway, we love all the emergency room doctors, but we just have a really extra special nod to you and all that you've done. And Andy Melamed, who has been a driving force of this, father of some excellent surfers and water people, and myself having been involved at the surf team, knowing how much energy you put in with the youth surf community out there. And then for so long you were doing the surf report on the radio. So, Andy, you're kind of good at business. And one of the things that you're doing is helping to raise the money to bring this up. And so we have an event coming up. I want to play a song by one of the musicians that you're going to do in just a minute. But tell us a little bit about this event.
The Beach Bash?
Mm-hmm, the Beach Bash.
Well, the Beach Bash was created this year. We've put on wave events. And when we decided to come up with the Ocean Minded Community, a lot of the sponsors were saying, well, there's not going to be a big wave event this year. And I talked with Monty and I said, let's have a mahalo party. And let's do it down at the beach. And I thought we could have the lifeguards do a tug of war. And my wife said, no. Let's have the lifeguards show how to operate a jet ski and how to use a rescue tube and things like that. So it was a barbecue at the Luau grounds, and it's going to be May 21st. And the various businesses around the island, as we're joining the community together, that make donations, have been buying tables and sponsoring various facets of the Ocean Minded Community, whether it's the video, the brochure, the junior lifeguard program, whatever it might be, sponsoring one of the lifeguard towers. The event is from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. The Kauai Marriott has just rolled out the red carpet to us in so many different ways, and especially in holding some events that we've been doing there now. And John Cruz is going to be performing, and Brother Nolan is going to be there, and Paul Togioka is going to be there. We've got some great prizes that we're going to be giving away, and a lot of fun and games. And it's for 3 hours from 3 to 6 p.m., but you'll also, because it's going to be right on the beach, right at the Luau grounds at Kalapaki there, you're going to see the jet skis in action. We're going to do some rescue. So if you want to come see how the rescue tube is actually used, you can also watch it on the video. But if you want to see it live, that's going to be happening. And it should be really a lot of fun. And if someone wants to buy, we only have like 4 tables left. And
we can't mention price, but it
we have 4 tables left. Yep. Or you can also buy individual tickets or pairs of tickets, et cetera, by getting a hold of me.
How would they do that?
808-482-0218.
And is there a website?
It's at, the information is also at kauailifeguards.org.
So that's kauailifeguards.org. And could they go in and purchase a ticket online there? Or are the tickets for sale anywhere?
It's referred back to me. Because there's just a few tickets left. There's just a few tables left. And instead of it getting out of hand and being oversold and things like that, I'm controlling basically the last 48 seats that we've got, really.
Okay. And then I want to play one of John's more recognizable songs. He's got so many beautiful songs. But he's done many, many I can think of at least, this is probably his 4th event that he's done for you?
Yeah, 4 out of 5. This will be our 5th event, and this is the 4th one. And he's a pleasure to work with.
So let's hear a little bit of him.
On the island, we do it instead. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. On the island, we do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. Mama's in the kitchen cooking dinner real nice. Beef stew on the stove, low mess, salmon with the ice.
weed and drink and we sing all day. Connie Cupty lying the old Hawaiian way on the island. We do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. On the island, we do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. We go grandma's house on the weekend, clean yard, cause if we don't go, grandma gotta work hard. You know my grandma, she like the boy real sour. I love my grandma every minute, every hour on the island. We do it island style. From the mountain to the ocean, from the windward to the leeward side. On the island, we do it island.
So we are so lucky that our John Cruz, he called in. John? Are you there? John? Hello?
Oops, I got the wrong thing up.
John?
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, thank you so much for all that you do for Kauai. I know that you come over here pretty regularly, and you are routinely helping so many different causes. Sometimes I think sometime you got to be able to make some money, but most of the time I see you, you're over here, you're playing for free.
I try to do what I can.
Yeah, so thank you. So this is going to be your fourth lifeguard show? Yes.
Yeah, right.
Hi, John, it's Andy.
Oh, it's yeah. Andy. Hey, Andy.
Hey, yeah, you were at the first one, the second one, the
skip one, I think.
Yeah, there was one that you missed. That was the fourth one. So you were the first, second, and third one, and then the fourth one we just did at the Marriott, and now you're coming back to do the Marriott outdoors beach bash style, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be the, you know, I mean, the events are always great. I mean, Andy, I don't know what you do, but you get the place packed, man.
Well, it's a lot.
It ain't me packing the place. Believe me, I know.
It's relevant. It has to be relevant. It has to be important to people, you know.
Yeah, John, it's a great. Listen, I mean, how relevant? I mean,
John, I'm Monty Downs with the president of the lifeguard. I want to take a moment. Thank you very, very much for how much you've helped us. You're a beautiful, beautiful young man.
Oh, I've you know what I mean. You have the lives that are saved. Just that simple. Actual lives are being saved. Lives are at stake. You know.
Yeah, I just want to honor you. I know that you actually lost a brother in the water this year, and so it probably has, you know, Oahu, I'm sure, has the same challenges, and we appreciate extra, you know, what you're doing. So when you're coming and singing too, I know I'm always asking you, hey, when's your new CD coming out? But you've got a number of songs that are fresh songs.
Yep. Got some fresh ones and some that have been fermenting on the vine.
Percolating.
Percolating, yeah. Yeah, that's right, exactly. That's what they've been doing, percolating.
Yeah.
Yep. No, but I was in the studio last night, finished mixing one of them. So we're moving right along, you know.
Hey, and you
I'm
know,
hoping to have a single or two out within, but be for sure by the time the gig is out.
Really?
But for sure by the time the
well, you gotta include KLA gig. You gotta include Kauai Community Radio in your rollout.
Oh, most definitely. You know what I mean?
You know, Brother Nolan is going to be playing also that afternoon, so it should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
It should be a blast. Yeah, I've gotten to know Nolan a lot more over the last few years. I love the brother. He's a fantastic human being, fantastic musician, very influential in the contemporary Hawaiian music world. You know, he was one of the originators that we all looked up to and we all wanted to be like.
And you've been playing with him, right? You've been playing with him in the Rough Riders?
Yep. 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 So that's been a blessing. And he's such a sweet guy, too. You know what I mean? It's just a bonus when you can be around people, you know, that are just such gentle and sweet and, you know, intelligent human beings. Yes. You know, not only that, you know, he's a fisherman. So we got something to talk about.
Yeah.
About fishing all the time. You know, we both enjoy, you know, just, you know, fishing. And, you know, we have a lot of things in common, you know. Both sort of raised up in the projects and, you know, sort of left to our own devices and whatnot. So it's, I have real good fun with Nolan.
John, I think you'll appreciate this particular event because the ones that you've played at have been at Kilohana. They've been at hotels, in ballrooms in the evening. And though we do not stress people to wear their best at those events to come casual and enjoy yourselves, usually mm-hmm. people really go overboard to just really make it a night of it because it is a celebration.
Well, it's a big event on Kauai. So it's a chance yeah. for people to throw on their, you know.
But this one in particular,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, this one in particular is going to be a little different because, like you said, Nolan's a fisherman. You love the ocean. This is on the beach in tents with barbecue and no live auction or silent auction. It's just really a mahalo party.
Oh,
and
right
it's
on.
Yeah, it's going to be really a casual, great Sunday afternoon. Like
right
I can always remember all my when I was real young in here and doing the Sunday afternoon, you know, beach scenes where you just
yeah.
stay till dark, you know, and this
oh,
is
yeah.
this is one of those and it should be a lot of fun.
Oh,
and
right on.
Yeah, we're just thanking everyone for helping with KLA and we're thanking you too.
Oh yeah, well you know, I'm glad I'm able to make it. You know.
Yeah.
I got some. You know, it's always when people ask, like, there's so many great issues, so many great things that you want to be a part of. You know, as a human being, just for me as a human being, so many things that I want to be associated with, so many things that I want to support, good things. And it's such an honor to be asked, for one. But it's also even more so when I'm able to, you know, make these events and support these events like this, then it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing because it gives me a chance to give back the many blessings that have been bestowed upon me. And, you know, Andy, you've been carrying a torch on this thing for forever. You know what I mean? And you've done an amazing job. The handful of times that I've worked with you, I've been very impressed and just very, I want to be involved in something like this because I know it's going to be, it's being well run, well put together, well, you know, it's a quality act, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it all benefits KLA, oh, yeah. and Dr. Downs, who's sitting next to me, is the man that helps basically save the lives along with the lifeguards.
Mm, right.
So, John, do you know Paul Togioka, too?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, he'll be playing. I'm going to try and get him to bust out his banjo for a song or two. Have you heard him?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Have you heard him on that?
No, I have not.
Oh, man, he's the real deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the banjo, and then Monty's going to bring out the harmonica, and then you,
okay.
we're going to be here till the next day.
Then I'll bring a washboard, a little mini washboard, too. You know, and then we'll be all set.
Okay. So thank you again, John. And then just like all the people who donate by buying their seats or playing music or being a part of any of this are actually a part of all those lives that continue. So we're all in it together. So mahalo, John, and thank you so much for calling in to Kauai Community Radio, johncruz.com.
Yep.
And you can see where else he's playing. And I think you're playing tomorrow night. Yeah, they're in Honolulu. I got a lot of people from Oahu listening.
Tomorrow during the day, actually. Tomorrow night in tomorrow night
Diamond
at the
Head.
Cove. Diamond Head. Thursday night playing downtown at Meke. It's a restaurant downtown.
Yeah.
natural foods restaurant, grand opening myself in Baba Fuga.
Okay.
And, wow. Yeah, once again, you know, great event. Please come out. Everybody come out. Support your community. Support your community radio. Support your community events. Come out. Do your part.
Okay, thank you so much, John. Okay. John Cruz, everybody, John Cruz.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
See you, John.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. And while we are talking about wonderful events to help, there's also one coming up at Hanalei School.
Legendary Party of the Year, a benefit concert for Hanalei School. Starry Nights presents the Soft White 60s and DJ Doja at the St. Regis Princeville Resort on Saturday, April 8th. Doors open at 6 p.m., 21 and over. Silent and live auctions with custom items exclusive for Starry Nights. Tickets are limited and available at Hanalei Surf Company, Magic Dragon, Healthy Hut, and online. More information at 647-0188 and Hanalei School on Facebook.
And, like, helping Hanalei Schools, great. So many of the musicians helping with that. And Andy, I just wonder, you know, a lot of people help with this, and if you could just kind of share a little bit so people realize how the visitor industry or different aspects come in and do help. You can't say dollars on the air if you can avoid that, but I know some of these are pretty big contributors, and it's I like to mahalo them publicly because a lot of times, at least on some community perspectives, they're not valued as much as maybe they might be. So I really want to be able to show the good things that people are doing.
Well, regardless of the theme that we come up with every year, they all recognize the fact that ocean safety is very important.
These donors, they
yes,
is the donors.
Well, everybody.
Yeah.
And what we try to do then is match a donor with an interest that he or she may have. In this particular year, we have the lifeguard towers that we've been promoting in the newspaper and on radio and in television. And just a few examples are Brennicky's and Neil Norman, Captain Andy's, Oceanfront Property right up here, Donna Apisa, which is Oceanfront and Sotheby's now, King Auto Center, Hanalei Land Company, Mike and Keola Sheehan guys, Eric and Jeannie Toulon, and that's just a few. The Junior Lifeguard program really took off. I mean, it was very hard for me to find open spaces for the demand that was going on there. Coco Palms, Kauai Marriott, Deja Vu, Kalaheo Dental, Makai Properties on the South Shore, First Hawaiian Bank, Timbers Resorts came in really big time, Kauai Community Federal Credit Union, Jonathan Parrish Collection, Kukuiula, and A&B are just a few. And what I do is I send a mass email out to different people and customize it and say, we've got Lifeguard Towers to sponsor, the Junior Lifeguard, the Roving Patrol. Like with the Roving Patrol, the Hyatt down on the South Shore, they're sponsoring the Roving Patrol that goes to those unguarded beaches. On the North Shore, Captain Andy's. Andy Evans is really believing in ocean safety in a big way with us. And with the rescue tubes, we've got the Hyatt again coming on board. They realize the value of those rescue tubes. Cindy and John Glancy, they sponsored the ones on the North Shore. The Glancys, we met them a couple of years ago at the Westin. Now, Denise Wardlow at the Westin is a hero. She is a KLA hero. Every year she puts on an event out at the Jazz and Wine Festival where there's a silent auction that raises money.
Yeah, I go to that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the auction that happens there, she donates the money to KLA for whatever we need.
Kauai Lifeguard Association.
Yes, and John and Cindy Glancy, I met them at one of the events, and they were talking. She's a diver and she's a photographer, and so she supports us big time and really supports, in this particular case, the North Shore Rescue Tubes. The Kauai Visitor Bureau is sponsoring the East Side Rescue Tubes. The video, which we just finished, we have, you mentioned about airplanes.
Yeah, I want to see it on the airplane.
Well, the HLTA, Hawaii Lodging and Tourism,
I don't like acronyms.
You don't like those abbreviations.
Right.
We would not get along. But anyway, the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association, we told them of the concept and of the video in the beginning of the year. They ponied up some money, but they know at the same time that what we're trying to do is get the video shown throughout the island and then take that video and show them what a video could look like on an airplane. So the video that you see online right now and that's going to be shown around Kauai is actually going to be shown on Thursday. Jim Brayman, who is at the Cliffs here, is the president of HLTA. He's showing it to the state HLTA members.
Hawaii Lodging Tourism Association.
Thank you. And basically what he's going to do is try to get backing from the statewide group. And there's a few members on that group. First of all, you're looking at Mufi Hanneman. You're looking at some politicians. And you've got Daniel Chun from Alaska Airlines. And if we can get the politicians and we can get the visitor bureaus and we can get the organizations together and say, Mr. Airline, would you please show this
and
on your plane?
You know what? I think it's going to happen. And I want to put on that list there to put on your help list is the Chamber of Commerce. And they've got a good connection with Hawaiian Air, and I can't see a reason why to not do it. And if it needs to be adapted a little bit for the airplane,
it will
great.
Be.
But yeah. I think that people will appreciate it, and it's an honorable and responsible thing.
Felicia, I went ahead and put the video and the announcement for the fundraiser on your Facebook page.
Okay, and we could put it on Kauai Community Radio also. And could you tell us the YouTube name? Because then people can just look it up, too. YouTube, the name of that.
The name of the...
So some other backers...
Let's hear the name of it.
Okay, sorry.
So Ocean Safety Video 2017.
Ocean Safety Video 2017, very basic name, Ocean Safety Video 2017 on YouTube.
But you can link there from the KauaiLifeguards.org.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, if you go to KauaiLifeguards.org and you just punch the Ocean Video download, the video is right there on our website.
I get that, but people will just YouTube it. It's really the way people tend to look at it and post it. And so they're not going to want to go download it. They're going to want to just post it.
So Hoku'ala, which is the Timbers Resort project that's happening, which is where Kauai Lagoons used to be by the Marriott there, they've come on big time with the video. In fact, they want to... further exposure of videos on an ongoing basis at the airport and just do a lot of different additional ways to get people aware.
And that might be, you know, if you work with KCC that's got this really great media program now, you might be able to get all kinds of different people to do nuances on it that so that people don't get sick of seeing the same thing over and over again. And you get, you know, you can, there's a lot of potential, a lot of reasons to keep people safe. So you're going to give us a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we've got Whaler's Cove. We've got Kauai Vacation Rental. Lucy Kauai Halau is an amazing individual.
Kauai Halau,
Yes, Lucy is just amazing, and she always buys two or three or four or five tables.
That's Kauai Vacation Rentals.
Yeah. And then there's Duke's, of course, Jaime and the guys and the team over at Duke's. East Kauai Rotary, of course, is a big backer. And then we've got the brochure, which we just finished. I just finished selling the last puka on that one, and there's we're going to print 250,000 new ocean safety brochures that reinforce the same messages that are on the video, that reinforce the same messages that are going to be live in front of a visitor's face at briefings that happen at various timeshares and resorts and things like that. So we're talking about repetition of the same things over and over again.
So I want to acknowledge very firmly that the visitor industry here is stepping up and helping to cough up the money to supplement what is needed. So I'm embedding that recognition in my own mind right now that even though the transit accommodation taxes are being taken from us and they should not be, but that the visitor industry and individuals are voluntarily putting a lot of this money forward. I want to also acknowledge how many wonderful lifeguards that we have and that it's a great job.
Yeah.
And I want to thank our lifeguards. So many of them I've known since they're little kids, and they put their life on the line all the time for people, but they're competent and they're capable and they're super important.
We've got Wilcox, HPH is involved, and ARDA, which is a timeshare group that's a national organization. And we've got Walmart. They came on board with the brochure this year. And Aspire Furniture and Koloa Rum is doing an amazing job with us in assistance. And what else? Tiki Iniki is helping out. Hukilau Lanai, Marianne Kusaka, Enterprise Rent-A-Cars. We just got a check from them in the mail that was a surprise yesterday, right, Monty? I mean, all of a sudden, Enterprise.
Yeah, no, they give us. Yeah. They give us money every year.
Yeah.
But thank you, Felicia, for shouting out the lifeguards. They're, I kind of use the word love when I think about them, and
I use
and
the word love too
when I see them, and they've I'm an incredible fan of lifeguards. I get to see the work that they accomplish, and
they love their jobs.
Yeah.
It's really evident when you're down there. It's really evident.
And these businesses like Tire Warehouse and Ching Yung Village and Earthworks Pacific and Greg Takara from Morgan Stanley and Dana Ramsdale and Aloha Termite, these are all businesses that realize what we're doing, and it unites us all. And we do these celebrations, and we recognize the lifeguards. We recognize, really, the community as a whole. If we can come together through these programs and be more aware of ocean safety on an ongoing basis, which we are, but then if we spread it with that multiplier effect that Monty always refers to, then what we're dealing with is the whole island is united.
That's right. And I'm going to give love to the emergency medical technicians and the fire department right now and the police department. Everybody comes together on this. Marshall?
We had a caller who just wanted to back up and get the basic information on this. We're talking about the Kauai Lifeguards Association Mahalo Beach Bash, which is May 21st at Kauai Marriott Luau Grounds, 3 to 6 p.m.
And the number to call is?
482-0218.
And I'm sure it'll be really amazing food. And so when we're talking and getting calls, I want to open up the phone lines. I mean, you gentlemen are very, very welcome to be part of this conversation. People might have calls for you, or we can talk about anything at 826-7771. Kauai's Soapbox is a call-in show, and we look at all these different issues that are up. And since you're right in front of me, Monty, I'm really thankful to have you in here. Aside from ocean, do you have any other mana'o that you think would help people stay alive better?
Wear seatbelts is a big one, and on a totally different area. But and don't drink and drive, and don't drink and swim. Believe it or not, alcohol before you go swimming is a very well-known risk factor, along with pre-existing conditions such as heart trouble or being overweight, but
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But just the impaired judgment itself. You need to be pretty aware and smart when you're out in the water, and if you've been drinking, you might lose your itch.
Yep, no, there's no doubt about it. The when they do autopsies, I don't mean to be grim here, but and do drug screens and alcohol levels on people that have drowned, there's about 30% are positive. So,
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, don't drink and dive.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
When you're diving.
Oh yeah.
That's a real big deal, because people end up with shallow water blackout.
Yeah, that's a whole physiological thing. But Marshall was more on the impaired judgment,
And we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air, KKCR.
Aloha. I am a resident for 26 years. I am in the tourist industry and work at the Mahui Airport for over 12 years. The videos they put in the baggage claim are wonderful. However, videos on the airplane would be really great. All the mainland or flights coming in. Secondly, the magazines that are in each different airline, they used to have on the back page a map of Kauai, and they had little round dots of all drownings. Of course,
wow.
You know, the worst ones are going up to certain places on the island. I don't know if I should say them or not.
Go ahead, Lumahai, Hanakapi'i.
For people to look at and see on a five-hour flight, just to be aware that these are very dangerous stream crossings, awareness, and on a magazine, on the back page, it works well.
Yes, and I used to work in beach rentals a lot, and I would tell them all this stuff, and I would look at the most conscious person in the group. Typically, hate to say it, guys, but it's the woman. And so I used to have statistics right on the counter of, like, death by age and gender, and it's young men in their prime, or actually not young, let's just say men in their prime, are the biggest drowning risks. But I would say, I don't want you to be afraid, but I want you to be aware.
Thank you. Yeah.
And absolutely. And I look them in the eye. Aware of all those crossings, you know, Hanukkah, you know, all the places where you go hiking, or, you know, a lot of waterfalls are shut off, the slippery slide, but, you know, the Queen's Bath, we get big rogue waves, but put those little dots on. It's not scary. It's not, you know, we're not trying to scare people. Awareness is number one.
Actually, we've been really blessed this year. We've made an ad for magazines that points out where the lifeguard towers are, and it broke in the April edition of Currents, the magazine that everyone gets from KIUC. It's also being in the every edition of the drive guides that the Garden Island newspaper does with budget rent-a-car, and I think there's three different rent-a-car drive guides, and that ad showing the lifeguard towers. And basically it says, are you an accident on the horizon? And then it promotes our lifeguards and shows where the lifeguard beaches are. And then lastly, there's a magazine that's in a lot of hotel rooms called Kauai Traveler. And they've given us a full-page ad to run for the whole year. So
fabulous.
And it's
fabulous.
The same ad, you know. I appreciate everything that you've said and done. And because you work at the airport, you'll be able to see the new video. It goes up tomorrow, I was told. So Ron Margolis from East Kauai Rotary.
Absolutely. I see all the results. I am the pink cushion. I see people leaving the island. I hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. But believe me, I make them leave smiling. And mostly, when they're coming in on those flights, all the airlines have the magazine people look at, da-da-da, and things to do. Just have that page that has all the drowning little dots.
Okay.
It makes sense.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that from the airport staff.
Thank you. Aloha and wonderful show. Wonderful.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
You know, Felicia, you said how when you worked with the rental cars, you... rental equipment, that how you would talk to our visitors. And that's a huge thing that I think really Kauai is very good at. Sometimes I try and be anonymous and just go to a concierge desk somewhere and ask him something about going in the water. And the level of our education of our concierges is really high, and people in all of our service industries. And to me, that's a huge link in the chain and I really thank all of you for doing what you do, and it's a huge part of it's the force multiplier that we've talked about.
And with my staff that did the same thing, and we had the Hanalei Surf Company, I'm sure they still do it, we would diagram the beach out, you know, show them how to recognize a riptide, you know, really, and then, of course, if the weather is bad or the currents are wrong, or you don't send them out. When in doubt, don't go out. And so, very quick, for somebody who might be driving down the road and don't know this, one day is not the same as the next in the ocean. When you get there, if you see a steep beach, that tells you there's big teeth in that. You know, a flat, long beach is easier. There's a whole lot of little pieces. But look at what's going on. Look for a lifeguard. If there isn't anybody out there, there's probably a reason. Jazz with John is coming up next. We're going to... hear a little bit of wonderful stuff from our wave riders who are going to be supporting our upcoming
fun drive that's soon, and then we'll be saying our alohas not too long after that, and the county council report will also be on.
KKCR's Wave Rider program will make a huge splash during our upcoming spring membership drive. For a tax-deductible donation of just $175, a brief message about your business or event will surf the airwaves during every two-hour program throughout our 14-day fundraiser from April 27th to May 11th. That's over 100 announcements. This is a great opportunity to promote your business or upcoming event and support Kauai Community Radio. Wave Rider forms are available at kkcr.org or call us at 808-826-7774. Early sign-up guarantees the most airtime for your donated dollars. Reserve your...
Oops, that is volunteer radio. So, accidentally hit the wrong button. But, hey, Wave Riders, we need you. Call in at 826-7774. Aloha, thank you for calling. You're on the air. Is this Katie?
Hi, Felicia.
Hi.
Thank you. I have a wonderful announcement for Saturday. We're doing a Hawaii premiere of a fantastic film by John Yunkerman. The director himself is an award-winning film director. He's written and directed films about Hiroshima and Noam Chomsky. This one is called Okinawa, the Afterburn. Mm-hmm. And it's about the militarization of Okinawa and the changes in culture and nature from World War II till now. He's coming, and the event will be at Kalia Market. The marketplace is covered. There's plenty of parking. I'm making lemongrass tea. And so from 7 to 10, Saturday the 8th of April, a free premiere screening of Okinawa, the Afterburn.
Yes, and we were talking about that a little bit earlier, and it looks incredibly powerful. So this is going to be, I'm going for sure, and I hope that the Okinawan community comes, because...
Yes, I think tried to get the Okinawa Club to be an endorsement, but because a lot of Okinawans here remember Okinawa from the 18th or 19th century, they're not familiar with present-day Okinawa, and so I really need their help. And so I'm hoping the people in the Kapahi area can get to Kalia. And it's also a kickoff for the film series that Adam Asquith is beginning there.
Yes, and Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice are also a part of supporting this. And
Koholaleo. The reason that I'm so excited is that I go back and forth to Okinawa. Today is my 6th anniversary of moving to Kauai from Okinawa. April 4th at 4 p.m. I left there, and I arrived here April 4th at 4 p.m. So I'm happy to say that 6 years later, I'm still able to straddle the Pacific and try to bring the news here. We have great, it's a hopeful movie. In Japanese, it's Urizu no Ame, which is the spring rain. John is trying to show hope for the future. We just had a rally last week. 4,000 people showed up. The mayor and the governor for the first time were at a public rally at Camp Schwab, where they're trying to stop American militarization of the last coral reef in Japan and one of the last ones in the world. And so also Hiroji was in jail since October, is just released, and he was there too. So it was a very emotional rally. And 4,000 people at a base where people have been protesting for years in the numbers of 50 or 60 is very exciting.
Yes.
So we feel we're going to win this one. So I'm welcoming John Yunkerman. He's never been to Kauai. I'm going to escort him to beaches and to Limahuli. And
don't let him drown. Yes.
Don't let him drown. No, and I heard earlier, I did the course. It was really wonderful. I feel very confident when I go to beaches, just when I see those rescue tubes. I think that they should have the course absolutely, Tyler. It was just a one day, and it was so good.
Wonderful. So thank you for calling that in.
It's about CPR, everything. Yep.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you
so
much.
So it's Saturday. It's free. It's at 7 o'clock p.m. It's going to be really flashy. Mason Chalk is providing the back screen, the backlit screen. And Kauai Alliance for Peace has got the projector. And I'm bringing the lei.
Okay. Mahalo. Okay. Mahalo for calling that in.
Oh, so much. Thank you.
Aloha. So, yes, lots of things going on. I'm going to go to that one for sure. There's so many good pieces. We talked about Governor Ige having his town hall this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30. That's at Chiefs Kamakahele. And I got off the phone recently with Tulsi Gabbard's place. They probably will do it live streaming on KKCR, but she is also doing a town hall from 6 to 7:30 Wednesday, April 19th. Another piece that was brought up today about this constitutional convention that's being looked at, I guess that's trying to get it to be in front of the U.S. Congress. And it's it got passed today in the Judicial Committee, but it is a little bit weakened, and the teeth were pulled out of it. But if you look at HCR 50 on the capital.hawaii.gov site, I have to look at it. That's happened since I've been on the air. We have another caller. This is going to be very brief, and then we're going to say our alohas. We'll be listening to the County Council report and then Jazz with John. Thank you for holding. You're on the air, KKCR.
Hi, this is Bob, and I just want to say to Andy how impressed I am with his support of lifeguard awareness and his video, and I read about it on the Garden Island. And Andy from the country, way to go.
Thank you, Bob.
Oops.
Thank you, Bob.
Right on. Thank you so much for calling and listening to KKCR. Aloha. All right, Andy, final thought?
I gave too many thoughts out already.
All right.
My brain, I'm brain dead. But I want to just thank you for hosting us here and helping us spread the word. You know, it all comes so close to us on a daily basis as far as supporting each other no matter what we're doing, because we are a small island. And the more we can show patience and love and aloha for each other, the more this whole island will come about.
Okay, thank you. Monty, a quick aloha.
Okay, thank you, Felicia, for, again, the honor of having us on the show today. And thank you, everyone on Kauai, who does take a minute to be our brother's keeper and to ask our visitors and each other to be careful in our oceans. Aloha.
Okay. Thank you so much for saving so many lives and being there. And you probably don't remember, but you've helped me out a number of times when I've been in the emergency room. Aloha, you're on the air for like 30 seconds max.
Okay. The Jazz Show can wait.
No, it can't. So go on. What's up?
We got a bunch of kids down here at Princeville Court, and I'm so stoked to see the younger generation going out and exercising, not playing their iPods and all that kind of stuff. And it's just been a beautiful last 2 hours.
Wonderful. Thank you for taking
okay.
the time with them.
Aloha.
Aloha. Okay. Aloha from Kauai Soapbox.
Felicia, aloha. What a great show. Thank you so much, Monty. And
Andy.
Andy.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Unforgettable.
Yeah. What a great day.
What a great day. Okay, and here's the County Council report, and then Jazz with John at the top of the hour.